plagued a potential nugget.
And if you were to double click on that, Karthik, what are the 2-3, let's say, elements of your culture which makes Bloom distinctive?
So I think clearly it's to respect what an entrepreneur is trying to do. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the times, I think people who have capital or people who have made it are sort of dismissive of a point of view which is not theirs. And you can be dismissive by saying a polite no, but you don't have to be dismissive of their effort to be an entrepreneur. Mm. And it feels very basic when I'm saying it this
way. It's a very nuanced point.
But it's so difficult to actually not lose sight of the fact that it's some kid who's taking, or some middle-aged guy who's taking his life, trying to make something out of themselves, and you're just being dismissive of the effort. Because for some reason you think you're a cool VC and it's not a fundable idea and you're smarter than that other person. Mm. And those are like big red flags. I've actually rapped colleagues on the knuckles if I even sense it in an email. Mm. It just feels like an anathema of like why we exist, right?
Sure.
So that's one. Second is your own point of view and your ability to defend it. If you are, as an early stage investor, if you're copying somebody's point of view, you might as well leave the job.
Yeah.
Right? It might be wrong, and I'm willing to pay for that learning, which is why we are so picky on managing risk. Don't ever lose too much money, because it's all learning. Don't ever say you knew this for sure. You don't. Mm. Right? And you are going to lose money. So make sure you lose as little as possible. Correct it. Iterate, make it bigger. Or if things start working, then you double down, triple down.
Got it.
Right? So driving those philosophies around risk management, I think, are very important. Not everybody comes with it in their head. But for me, it's a guiding force, especially in venture. Because nothing is set, nothing is established. Even 10, 15 things can go wrong. I mean, I've been meaning to write like a piece on what these are. But we've just seen when we do 100 plus companies, their patterns.
Sure.
But you can't predict them in advance. Mm. It's like walking into a party and saying, I know these three couples will get divorced. How the hell do you know? You just, like, you have social banter with them, mm. right? Mm. But don't they? Yeah, in 10 years, don't 3 out of 25 get divorced?
Mm.
They do, right? Why is it any different in a startup environment? So there are so many things that can go wrong, and you shouldn't lose sight of the fact that you know what's going to work for sure. So you keep hedging against that. So I think that philosophy of understanding, you know, what founders' problems are and trying to solve for them is very, very critical for mm-hmm. us. Mm-hmm. It's not like board meeting to board meeting.
Sure.
It's like, you know, and for that, you'll have to gain an immense amount of trust from the entrepreneur. Yeah, I'll be honest, the disclosures that an entrepreneur on average makes to Bloom today in 2017 versus when we started in 2011, it's been like a scale of 3:1, 4:1. And that's just because...
It's a function of the trust.
One is that, of course, the brand building helps.
Sure.
But even then, they're just cynical. Mm-hmm. You walk into a room as with your investor. You're an investor at the end of the day, right?
Sure.
First instinct of the human being is to hide all the flaws.
Mm.
Right? And you actually have to have that kind of a relationship with the founder that they're exposing all the flaws. Only then can you solve for them. We've had like co-founder splits announced to us after the like virtually one side has served the papers to the other. That's ridiculous, right? When you put it in context.
Mm.
But yeah, because you're an investor, you've been kept out of the conversation. So it's, I think, I know I've touched upon a lot of points, but that's the DNA of an investor. You should be able to, you know, sort of incent that kind of behavior from a founder.
Got it.
So it's a long cycle.
Mm.
How much ever we blog about this or we talk about this, it takes 6 months, a year, 2 years for them to eventually say, I'll come to you with everything, as long as you have time. And then you say, no, I don't have time.
It's about creating the climate for that conversation, right? And yeah.
Eventually, you actually put your hand up and say, I can't solve everything.
Yeah, it's a tightrope. Yeah.
Yeah, it is a tightrope. Yeah,
true.
It's like, you know, it's a partner. You want to be a partner, but like you have to draw lines.
With limits. But actually, picking up on a couple of things, very nuanced points about having a point of view and having the humility, if I may. I think it's a gross simplification of the first point you made.
Sure.
But how does that translate into how you hire? How do you look for these traits, which are quite hard and nuanced?
Very, very challenging. So our hiring has been like a little serendipitous in that sense. Mm-hmm. It's been self-selected, let me say. So if it's someone who's actually coming and literally putting a resume and saying, I think you're an interesting firm, I want to work with you. That might be a good starting point. There's no harm. That's the right way to write a mail. But it's never going to be how, or the reason why it eventually materializes into a potential hire. So all our hiring has actually been through networks, relationships, built over anywhere between 6 months and 18 months. Hmm. And the first, if I have a second conversation with someone and, I think they need to want it more than I want them, to be honest. Hmm. So they need to want to come and learn about, what our motivations are. It's almost like a conversation that you are having with me right now. Mm-hmm. So if they haven't had
the curiosity.
Yeah, they haven't had the curiosity to come and actually ask me why I do what I do, what's the philosophy of this firm, what are we building towards, then they're thinking it's another job. Mm. And, you know, these things hit me like a bag of bricks about a year and a half ago. Mm-hmm. We were trying to draw out our first fund, all our team members, employees, whatever you want to call them, all colleagues as I would call them. That's how we introduce each other in every mail.
Sure.
There's no designations per se. It's just a name card. They were underpaid like crazy. We just had a tiny fund, very little fees. So their motivations had to be that they're coming here for the learning, literally.
Sure.
And I was okay with that. I couldn't afford to pay. So I said, anyone who wants to learn, I'll get as decent amount of work out of you. And I'm paying you a pittance anyway. So there's no debate about that.
With some skin in the upside?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay.
So, classic, I mean, we'll share carry and all of that. But the equations were changing dramatically in fund two. So, people were like, we're tired of being underpaid. Mm. We've done the learning. Mm. Now, you need to make a judgment call on whether we are the right people for the future.
Fair.
And these are my demands, right? So, I want to be close to market comp. I want this kind of a carry. And some were like, to me, intuitively, they felt like outrageous,
right?
And so I went back to the drawing board and for the first time assessed, what am I building? Who are these guys? Are they aligned with me? How do you align incentives for a venture capital firm? And realized that you can't fake it. It's the same journey that I'm on is what they need to be on for them to be able to make a lot of money.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they can take the learning and go. They can start a firm. I don't know if you've noticed, there's been a little bit of a trend in VCs where a lot of analysts and associates, etc., have actually joined startups or are doing startups themselves.
Interesting.
So I actually advocate the other way around for joining the firm. Hmm. And I almost mandate that you must have done something entrepreneurial. And if you haven't, then go and join a firm which is doing something. Sit there for a couple of years and then, you know, you placed a bet. I am not guaranteeing you a job. We did that with one of our guys, mm-hmm. Rohan, who joined. We poached him back from our portfolio company. Mm-hmm. So we told him, no, we don't have, at that point it was truly not having the ability to hire one more person, but he took on the challenge and it paid off for him, mm-hmm. right? He went there, he played a more generic role, biz dev, corp dev, etc. And those are the kind of skills we wanted back in the firm. So I think it's not a boilerplate set of skills.
Sure.
And that's the biggest challenge. So you're testing more for these soft
intrinsics, yeah. Some of the inner drivers.
I think the other part can be trained.
I hear you.
Yeah.
With you.
And I think it's not about complex DCF analysis or
And that stuff doesn't show up on the CV, right? That's a challenge.
Yeah. And even if it did, it's not that relevant for us.
Correct.
And as we are growing, we are learning so we can teach them as well.
Sure.
Right. What makes a great IPO company? I'm learning it too, because I checked in at like 10 crore valuation. Mm. So I'm shooting something which has grown 100 times in value. So in that journey, we're trying to chronicle our stories and teach them.
Sure.
So I think I'm only looking for the basic ingredients.
The key point that comes to mind is that in several professions, there's often a power hierarchy given a context. This got triggered in the context of Karthik talking about how they would reject an entrepreneurial idea. How you deal with that can often determine how people perceive you and your brand over the long run. When I was a search consultant, at Egon Zehnder. Some leaders would often want to work with us because they remembered an episode from the past where there were candidates with Egon Zehnder, did not get the job, but really liked the way they were treated when they were turned down. Showing humility and grace when you have the power advantage often helps you build meaningful relationships over the long term. Thank you for listening. For more, please visit playtopotential.com.